Well, wasn't that beautiful? Oh, gosh, I love to come to Andrew's. You know, it's just such a special place. The mood is so, you know, when you're getting a great massage. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm very thrilled to be here today. I love being at Andrew's. I like the tenor, the tone here. And I feel a great big hug when I come to Andrew's. I feel like I'm in amongst friends and family. You make people feel so special here. I want to let you know that I really appreciate it. You know, this week, as I thought of my discourse with you today, I was sitting quietly somewhere and I felt overwhelmed with that emotion to be vulnerable to you today, to take the risk. I have been, over the past several months, experiencing a very difficult time. Heart-wrenching feelings and sadness and anguish I have been feeling. And I have to tell you that God has been very special and very dear to me. But I have had a great deal, it's been difficult. One of the things that I usually do at this time of year is to attend the Women's Ministries, the Florida Conference Women's Ministries retreat held in Gainesville, Florida. And I have been going for almost 15 years, a few times I have missed it, but almost every year I go. But as it came time to get registered this time, And people asked me, are you going, Yvonne? And I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. I am not going. I just want to be by myself. I didn't want to fellowship. I didn't want to do anything like that. But as the time got nearer, friends of mine who also attend each time kept being concerned, Yvonne, you're not going. I'm not going. But, you know, it's just such a wonderful thing to have family and friends who care. And I must tell you, it was just such a delightful thing when my daughter, my now young adult daughter, came to me and said, you can tell that Lorna knows me a long time. You heard the introduction. And I don't know why she stayed there aging herself so. But my daughter came to me and she said, Mommy, I hear you're not going to the conference, to the retreat. I said, no, I'm not going. She said, but Mommy, this year of all years, you need to go. Well, I just sternly said, I'm mother and I'm not going. Well, I'd have you know that a few days later, my daughter came back to me and said, Mommy, I've paid the fare. I said, you've done what? She said, I've paid the fare, Mommy. I think you should go. Well, the long and short of that, I had my little words to say about that. Because she assumed that it was I didn't have the money. But, you know. But the thing is that she paid, and she arranged with her father, I later learned, to also pay the registration. She paid for the airfare, and I arranged for her father to pay the registration. And the bottom line is, sisters, brethren, I attended. I went to this retreat. And I have to tell you that of the 15 years or so that I've been going to the Florida Conference Women's Ministry Retreat, this was for me the most special. The Lord did a work for me that I cannot tell you enough about today. You see me standing before you here? I'm on the mountaintop for God. When I walked into that room Friday evening amongst 450 other women, and I sat in that room, I just kind of just went peacefully every minute. Now, my friends of mine, Laurel, was in the group. kept asking me, Yvonne, are you okay? Because I've been very quiet nowadays, you know. Because one of the things you must know during the period of my agony that I'm going through over the last several months, I've just been very quiet and pensive. I've not spoken much, but you know, many of you who have seen me may not ever be able to tell, because like so many of us, I have learned the art of knowing how to project the everything is okay image. Oh boy, I had the mask down to a T. And projecting I'm all right persona. I know how to do that well. I'm minister's wife. Did you not hear? So then, and I'm the vice president of the university. So I am to project I'm okay. And I have been doing it well. But you know, as I sat in that hall that night, and I listened as that woman of God spoke to our hearts, and under the guidance, the unction of the Spirit, she brought us to that place where she asked us to truly open our hearts and peel back. And what do you suppose the theme was for the retreat this week? You would not believe it. When I got there and I found that the theme was hiding no more, free to be me. That was the theme of the retreat this weekend, just gone. Hiding no more, free to be me. And that woman of God who was a featured speaker and several others who spoke took us through the wonderful exercise of allowing God to help us tear back the layers, the masks that we wear, and confront the true person that we are. That thing that is deep inside our souls with which we grapple and with which often keeps us away from enjoying the fullness of the abundant life in Christ. I tell you, I sat in that hall, and Laurel will tell you, I couldn't stand it. I am a girl. I'm no crybaby. You see me here. And I have to tell you, as I sat there that evening, I felt embarrassed to see how much I was crying. I tore down. I broke down and cried, for God was too good. He was just too good for me last Friday night. It was last week Friday night. And then I was thinking about it this week, and I thought, but isn't that what God is all about? Isn't it a fact that he has promised that he will supply all our need? He knew what I needed. I felt that I was the only one. There was that hall full of 450 women. And I am in there feeling that God specially picked this for me. I needed it. I needed it bad. And through that whole weekend, I went through such a wonderful, wonderful soul-searching time, session after session, event after event. What wonderful prayers. I have poured my heart out to God and asked him to rid me of much of the feelings that I had been bottled up inside. And I think he's still doing the work on me. I will not tell you that I am completely over the hill, but I know he's doing a work in me. And I rejoice today. I want to let you know that our God is an awesome God. And that he says that he will supply our need. He knows our need. And a promise to our God is a promise. So just imagine how delighted I am to be able to speak on this special Women's Day of Prayer, under the theme, A Promise is a Promise. For my sisters, I want today to not just affirm you as my sisters in Christ and to celebrate with you our uniqueness as women, but also today I want to highlight the promises that God has made to us, promises that are applicable in any situation in which we may find ourselves. My sisters, when we are in need of comfort, the psalmist reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. John told us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, But take heart, I have overcome the world. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, for I will give you rest, taken from Matthew 11:28. My sisters and brothers, when the situation we are in demands courage, remember the words from the prophet Isaiah. He says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Isaiah also reminds us, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When the arm of flesh fails, my sister, remember the one who never fails, who is always faithful. In Deuteronomy, we read, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, thank you, of those who love him and keep his commandments. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be moved, yet my unfailing love, says he, for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. When you need to find your way, and guidance is what you just must have, I want you to remember the words of the psalmist. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I've told you this, he says, when the devil, I want to let you know, my sisters, that when the old devil tries to steal your joy, please remember the words of our Lord. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Then, of course, you remember when he says, I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. To those of us who are getting on in age, do remember, the prophet Isaiah tells us, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. Doesn't that make you feel comforted? I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Proverbs 9:11 says, for through me your days will be many and years will be added to your life. For the times when you feel unloved, my sisters, and brothers, remember, Jeremiah 31:33 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. My sisters, when you mess up and you feel overcome by guilt and shame, remember, he is a God of mercy. He says in Isaiah 30:11, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. Blessed are all who wait on him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And then when you are in turmoil and all around you seem to be breaking loose, I want you to remember the words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you need the assurance of answered prayer, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, is a promise in Jeremiah 29:12. Before they call, Isaiah tells us what? I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5, Verse 14. My sisters, when you feel afraid and you are in need of protection, the Lord will keep you from all harm, he has promised. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. In Proverbs we read, well, I'd not pass over the Isaiah 1 that we all love so much. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And then in Proverbs, but whosoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. O women of God, when those who care about you have let you down and you don't know who to trust, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. When you have a difficult situation facing you and you feel inadequate, remember the source of wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2 verse 5. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And then the best of them all, the wonderful promise of eternal life. He says, I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. John 6, 47. And this is what he promises us, even eternal life. 1 John 2, 25. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. John 11, 25. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I don't know about you, but I just love to read that. It's just a wonderful reassurance that our God is a faithful God. And we can't be going through anything that he has not provided for. On this day when we come with a prayerful attitude, a prayer in our hearts for God to reach us and to meet us at the point of our very need. I want for each person here today to know that you are going through no stuff that he doesn't understand and he hasn't provided for. Let us claim God's promises today. But you know, God's promise to us is one thing. But the question that I want this morning for us to reflect on particularly is, what about our promises to him? The General Conference this year, in sending out the women's ministries and setting up and planning for Women's Ministries Day of Prayer, has sent a sermon that was written by Irma Johnson, who is one of the division leaders, women's ministries leaders, South Pacific Division, I believe. And in this sermon, Sister Johnson has brought to our attention the story that we have heard and we know so well. In our scripture lesson today, we read from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11, 10 and 11. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and she prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant and give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. You remember that story, don't you? We all know Hannah. Well, not really. We know more about her son. But you know, there is no question at all. When you read that story of Hannah, you recognize that Samuel became what Samuel became largely because of who Hannah was. And so today, as we consider a promise is a promise, and we take the time to affirm the promises, yes, that God has made to us, but as we think of our own promises to God, I want us to allow ourselves to contemplate a bit what the experience of Hannah as she made a promise to God, and how that we can see what we can learn from her. How many times have we made promises that we have not kept? This evening, today, we heard so beautifully. One of the ladies brought to attention some of the promises that many of us have made. You look at me, all of this, nearly 200 pounds of me. Do you know how I am promising I've promised the Lord that I am going to now begin to be serious about the exercise program? Can you not see that I haven't kept my promise? Isn't it very clear? Are you praying for me and the rest of us who struggle with this problem? It's called indiscipline. And it's a lack of commitment to the word that says that our bodies is a temple of God. I have to tell you. And I am praying to God to help me to truly believe his word and accept it, embrace it. For when I do, I will find it easier to exercise and eat properly. And I will look slimmer. So you will tell when you see me how I'm doing. You can tell right now I'm not doing so well. But the Lord is working on me. You know, although we don't often think of the Bible as a storybook, there are stories there, and the Bible is replete with examples of God's promises to people and people's promises to him. But today we are going to explore that story a little bit about Hannah and about her faith that was so unshakable. In that familiar story, we learn the experience of this wonderful woman of God. She believed in prayer, Hannah did. She had a heart to ask and to receive, because she knew the Lord had a heart to give. She could give and she could receive and ask him, because she knew her God. She knew him personally. Today we can learn much from this woman. An excellent role model she was. Her belief in prayer was phenomenal. She had no doubt that God was able and willing to answer her prayer. She was also ready to make a promise to God and to keep it. You remember Hannah, that she was a woman, yes, of fervent piety, gentle and unassuming. Her character was marked with deep earnestness and lofty faith. But you remember very well that in those polygamous times, Hannah was one of the wives of her husband. Her husband was apparently, very evidently, a wealthy man, loved and feared God, he did, yes. They had everything they could want, everything except a child. And according to some of the commentaries I've read, it seems Hannah was the first wife. And she didn't have any children. And presumably, in order that, as I've read from the commentators, it seems that just so that he could have his name continue, he had to find him a wife who could give him children to perpetuate his name. So I tell you that that was something else, as you well know. Her husband reassured her again and again. She was distressed, Hannah was, that she didn't have a child. And in those days, a woman already wasn't much. And then to be a barren woman, that was the pits. And this woman, she lived in agony. She lived in agony. It was a terrible shame. But her husband was a wonderful, kind man. He reassured her again and again of his love for her. And you read the scripture, he says, am I not more to you than 10 sons? Whatever number. His kindness was perhaps unusual in those days, when a barren wife was something you cast aside. Even today, you know, in some parts of the world, a man can divorce his wife if she's barren. I remember that I did see it in the newspaper some time ago, that was of one of the shahs in Iran, who divorced his wife because she gave birth to a daughter, not a son. And the same thing happened in Bible times. Childless women often had a sad life. So Elkanah had to find himself a second wife. And Ellen White tells us that this was due to his lack of faith. It certainly caused much heartache. Over the years, the second wife bore many children. But the joy and happiness of the family was destroyed because this second wife missed no opportunity to taunt the first wife about her barrenness. You know how we women can be. Oh, I am telling you. And she did not let up to make her know who really was the one here. Hannah, as Elkanah's first wife, bore this trial with uncomplaining meekness. But she was crushed, and life seemed for her to have no purpose. Well, Elkanah, you know, is a man who feared and served God. And as the custom was then, once a year, he took the whole family to Shiloh to worship God. As a Levite, he was required to help out in the temple if needed. And after offering the required thank offering, the family, according to custom, had a feast. At the feast, the husband used to give gifts to the members of his family. To Peninnah, the mother of his children, he gave a portion for herself and for each of their sons and daughters. But because he loved Hannah, the record tells us he gave her a double portion, telling her that in spite of the fact that she hadn't given him any children, he loved her with all of his heart. What a wonderful man. Lord. Them nice, when them ready for nice, they can nice, you know. One year, Peninnah taunted Hannah. More than usual, she taunted him. Because Hannah was in anguish. She wept. But she spoke to no one of her grief. She carried her burden quietly by herself. She could share it with no one but God. She knew that if her big barrenness was to end, it must end by the hand of God. That is why she brought her barrenness to the Lord. Oh, my sisters, there are some of us who have barrenness today. We may not be barren for children, but we are barren for spirituality in our lives. Oh, let's do that. Hannah did. Go to the Lord. What a lesson for us. If only we could do that when we feel so burdened, when we feel discouraged, do we take it to God in prayer? Hannah knew she could do that. After the feast, she went to the temple. And there, Hannah poured out her heart to her God. Oh, Lord of hosts, she began her prayer, thereby recognizing him as the ruler of heaven and earth. Her words expressed her faith in his power and his might. In light of God's majesty, she thought, I am nothing. She prayed silently, just moving her lips, tears streaming down her cheeks, all her sorrow pouring forth. For tears are a language God understands. Earnestly she pleaded with God to take away her reproach and grant her the precious gift of a son. In turn, she promised God that she would faithfully nurture and train her son to serve him. Hannah didn't ask for a small favor. She asked God for a miracle. There was nothing vague in her request, for when we pray from earnestness, we are never vague. Our prayers in those times were our deliberate prayers. She made sure there could be no mistake about what she prayed for. She was specific. She said, God, I want a son. Then I will give him back to you for all of his life. Here again, we can learn from Hannah. We are not to pray vague prayers. Be specific with God. Yes, he knows what we are going through. He does, for he is God. But he wants us to talk to him. In that utterance of our lips is where it happens. He wants to be our best friend. What an incredible opportunity he offers us. Ellen White tells us in the book, Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, prayer is not an expiation for sin. It has no virtue or merit of itself. All the flowery words at our command are not equivalent to one holy desire. The most eloquent prayers are but idle words if they do not express the true sentiments of the heart. But the prayer that comes from an earnest heart, when the simple wants of the soul are expressed, as we would ask an earthly friend for a favor, expecting it to be granted, this is the prayer of faith. God wants us to approach him in faith, assured that he cares for us. But let us get back to the story about Hannah. At that time, the people had come. You remember, they were a corrupt people, wandering far from God. Even the priests, the sons of Eli, remember them? They were corrupt. But Hannah's faith was pure. Oh, Hannah's faith was pure. Because we can choose not to be tainted by what's going on around us. We can choose. It's a choice that we make. She believed her nation needed an upright man, one who could become a link between God and his people. Was Hannah crying only for herself? Or did she weep also for God's people? I believe she did, as a woman of faith. Perhaps because of her burden for her people, she decided that the son that God would give her, she would dedicate to his service. This son would belong to God himself. He was to do God's work. He was going to become a link between God and his people. While she was praying, Eli, the high priest, saw her. And he remembered that the Bible tells us he thought she was a drunk. So, having little compassion and quite insensitive, I thought he was, he scolded her. You remember, and Hannah assured him, we thought she might have been drunk. We were, talking to herself and behaving in what was such a curious manner. But she advised him, I am a woman of sorrowful spirits. I have drunk no wine, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Out of the abundance of my grief I have spoken. 1 Samuel 1:15-16. The high priest was deeply moved, blessed her he did, and told her to go in peace. He assured her that her petition was granted. Hannah believed that her prayer was answered. As we read in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure that what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. She was a woman of faith. She opened up her heart and she poured out her soul to God, and she trusted God to believe, to accede to her request. Hannah got up from her knees, and you know the rest of the story. She went back home with her family, and a year later, the baby was born. Oh, what a lovely story. She named him Samuel for a reason, for the name Samuel means either asked of God or heard of God. What an appropriate name. During that short time that Hannah had her son with her, the record tells us that she dedicated herself to preparing him for the service to God. He was her only son, a special gift from heaven, but she had received him as a treasure, consecrated to God. She would not withhold her gift from the giver. She poured her whole being into raising her son in the fear of the Lord. And as I read that, my mind is filled again with another woman like that. Does her name come to your mind? Yes, I can think of Moses' mother. Can you not? Another one who poured her heart, her soul into her son. And do you wonder, has it ever occurred to you that all three of Jochebed's children turned out to be leaders in Israel? Do you think it was coincidence? Oh no. No coincidence. This is a woman who knew God and who took seriously her role as a mother. As a mother, she listened to God and heard from God, and she poured what she got from him into her children. Ellen White tells us that the mother's power for good is the strongest power known on earth. The mother, she tells us in the book Adventist Home, page 232, is the queen of the home, and the children are her subjects. She is to rule her household wisely in the dignity of her motherhood. Her influence in the home is to be paramount. Her word, low. If she is a Christian under God's control, she will command the respect of her children. Christian mothers are not virgos. They are not talking loud and carry on. They are women who listen to God and who speak with strength and conviction and firmness, but always with grace and godly love. Virtuous women, thank you. Hannah took her responsibility very seriously. Her care reminds us of what a responsibility we have as parents. Her prayer was a radical prayer. So was her dedication. Prayer, faith, and dedication continued to characterize her life. For Hannah knew that a person who gave all to God would receive more in return. After a few years, the record tells us that Hannah traveled to Silo with her husband. But what a difference it was this time. This time, she brought her beloved little son, probably about 3 or 4 years old then. At the tabernacle, she took him to Eli, explaining who she was and why she had brought her son to him. Well, the fact is, Sister Johnson is saying it here, and me too. If I had been Hannah, I might have thought twice about giving my treasure to Eli. Well, he didn't do so good with his children, did he now? So I'm not so sure that this one that I prayed to God so earnestly for, that I would carry him or give him to this one. But you know, Hannah did not hesitate, because a promise is a promise. God would take care of her precious son, Samuel, who had been dedicated to the Lord even before he was conceived. How happy she was to be able to bring her son to serve God. I imagine that she must have had an empty ache in her heart as she went back home, but she didn't dwell on it. God had given her a son, and she had kept her promise and given him back to God. God gave Hannah, the Bible tells us, many more children after Samuel. But Samuel was special. He was her miracle child. Hannah's story probably reminds many of us of a time when we've taken our children to a boarding school or to something away from home. Oh, I remember my last year when my big daughter, left home, says she's coming to work at Kingsway. My big daughter. Well, you know, it's the one I have. For I was one like Hannah. Ten years I was married before she came. And so, yes, you know our age now. Because she tell you when, how long I've been married. So then, yes, 10 years we were married, and then Shelley came. And what a joy that was in our lives. Oh, what a wonderful dimension she added. And I have to tell you, I am struggling when I look at the possibility now that Shelley might soon be leaving. I see her moving up with Arlick or someone. And I fear that them coming soon to tell me the thing. I'm not ready. I have to tell you, I am not ready. I'm not ready. But you know, it's never easy to leave our children and to have to say goodbye to the children of our beings. But Hannah was keeping her promise to God when she left Samuel there. He had answered her prayer, and she kept her promise. She wanted only that her son might honor God and bless his fellow men. Her faith lived on in her son. Samuel was born in answer to prayer, and whose name constantly reminded him of that, became a man of prayer himself. In just a few short years, Hannah had fashioned her son's character in such a way that he became a blessing for the whole nation. Hannah conversed with this little boy from his early years and throughout his life, and God was with him. What a man of God he became. Hannah took her ministry seriously. She made certain that her son knew, even as a little child, who he was, why he was alive, and who he was to serve. During her yearly visits, she always reminded her son that he had been promised to the Lord. It's good for us to remind our children of that, you know. Keep before them, and they're all of our children. We brought them to the altar in the early days of it's vital that we let them know, I didn't just do an act that was expected of me. I want for you to know that this was something I did with great intention. I want you to know you are dedicated to God. Your life is to serve God. She took her promise to God seriously and taught her son to do the same. The question for us today is, what about you and me? Have we made promises we haven't kept? Our promises to each other should not be made unless we mean to keep them. And our promises to God are even more important. My sisters, we make promises to God, many, many of us. We make promises to God about how we are going to live for Him. Do you remember when you first accepted the Lord? You remember how fired up and committed you were, and the future just looked, you just were so caught up in that moment of transformation in your life. God wants us to remember that promise every day. And He wants to help us honor and keep that promise to Him. When we promise to give a tenth of our earnings to God, He wants to bless us for doing it. Let us honor that promise. Let us honor that promise, even in difficult times. It's our faithfulness that He's testing. Let us allow ourselves to be faithful. When we stand here at the altar with the one that we love, and we make promises to Him, oh, my sisters and brothers, I have to tell you, that promise must also be a promise. It's a covenant that we make with God and with our spouse, that we will love Him, her, through thick and thin, or some words to that effect, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That is a big promise, but it is a significant promise, and we're supposed to keep it. So when things get funny in the home, take it to the Lord in prayer. Trust and believe God that He will help you to keep the promise that you made. Tell Him how you want to be the woman that your husband needs, the woman that will truly complete his life and make him be the man that God has destined him to be. Every red-blooded woman in this room who is married to a man, God wants for you to know that He has called you to help make that man in your life the man that God has created him to be. So let us know that we will not have homes in which we have a coup. There will be no coups, you know, the coup d'etat that some of us launch in the home and take over. That we in charge and we run things. And the poor man have to just do us. That is not the man that any of us want. We much rather a man who's going to love and honor us. But guess what? It works both ways. He is to show honor and respect and love us. And we are to submit to him as the one who God has put in his life to be his completer. For that's what helpmeet means. And so today, as we close this service this morning, I would like all of us to think seriously about any promises that we have made and what we have done about them. Have you made a promise you haven't kept? What about your promises to God? Have you promised Him your life, your whole heart? Can you give Him your most loved treasure? What is it that you have that is so special to you that you cannot give to God? Oh, my sisters, that is a very serious question, don't you know? For there are some of us that love a lot of things very much. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that question, it speaks to me. Because there are some things I love very dearly. And I have to tell you, I ask myself often, very sincerely, I do. Yvonne, what if you had to give that up for God? Are you willing? And if the answer is honestly that you hesitate, then that thing is nearer to God than you, if it is in the middle. No, so? God up there, so, and the thing, and you. So it's nearer to God than you. It is in the way. As we close, please listen to the words of this familiar hymn. And we will sing it today. I want for us to close your eyes and silently renew your promise, your pledge to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Father who loves you and will keep his promises. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou choose. Take my will and make it thine. It will be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord. I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. My sisters and brothers, today as we pray, may God truly enable us, each one of us, to zoom in on the promises that we have made to him and to those whom we love. And may we truly ask God to give us enough of his grace so that we can truly be the keeper of the promises that we have made in the way that our God keeps his promises to us. May God bless us as we continue to worship him today.